You're listening to Modern Marketing, a podcast brought to you by Influicity. At Influicity, we build brand communities that drive revenue. Learn more at Influicity.com. On today's episode, Influicity podcast coordinator Robin Flynn speaks with Christine Castro, VP of Marketing at Do Control.
Thanks for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate it. Christine Castro, you're a marketing professional. You've been working in the industry for a very long time, right? Well, I don't want to date you. I don't want to age you, but I mean, you've got the creds to back it up, right?
Yes. Yeah. I've been doing this for a while.
Okay. So, you know, when I was looking at your LinkedIn profile, you spoke specifically about like product marketing, driving revenue, and specifically replicating strategies. So I think that's something that a lot of people in marketing have a hard time with, is figuring out what works and how to apply that in different settings. So I'm curious to get your insights on that. Depending on the industry you're working in, some things don't necessarily transfer over. So what sort of systems have you been able to build that you've been able to replicate in different settings?
Sure. So just to kind of like level set about what I do is I only work with startups. So I've been in tech marketing for the entirety of my career. Early on, I was on the agency side. I worked for various agencies. Then I owned my own agency. So I got that really broad, generalized marketing background. But even at that point, it was always tech marketing, always in the startup space. I was Boston-based, so there was such a big tech community there. So I had a lot of insights, and I got to learn from a lot of great people and then to start really applying that. And then I made the decision to go internally and make a very strategic focus on a specific space that I really see as never going anywhere. I think, you know, that we all know that our cybersecurity is such a high priority, and every single one of us has been impacted by some level, whether you work in business or not. So I made the decision to move into an internal roles strictly within cybersecurity and go into marketing leadership in internal cybersecurity vendor spaces. So with that, one of the things I've been just doing as I kind of go from consulting and agency space into the internal space is to take what I'd learned on the agency side and apply it internally. And that was a lot of interviewing the stakeholders, really doing deep dives into what the priorities are, where they were seeing successes, where they weren't, why they would, you know, so often not look at a lot of the analytics behind things. You know, marketing is a science. It's not an art, which I think a lot of people really think it's making things look pretty. And there's a common misconception, especially in the tech world, that marketing is a real fluff and it's a nice to have in a lot of ways. But there is it's a science. My degree is a science degree. I have a science, marketing science degree. And with that, I take all the analytics and the real understanding of everything that I do. So usually when I'm approaching things, especially like newer things, I'm often, you know, one of the very first marketing leaders coming into a company. Sometimes I'm coming in as first boots on the ground. Sometimes I'm coming in and there's been a couple of team members that are individual contributors that really haven't had kind of that cohesive strategy. They've been doing bits and pieces of things, but they haven't had an overarching strategy that's really encompassing all the components to really make marketing a holistic function. And marketing truly needs to be, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you don't have all the pieces working together, it's never going to work as great as it could. So when I'm coming in, I've developed a sort of this kind of rubric and formulaic checklist of questions that I ask. And they're deep dive questions from, you know, some more superficial, like kind of going under the surface a little bit, but then really deep diving into some of the numbers and to start doing extrapolations and reviews of what those numbers mean. And I think a lot of times, almost every time that I go into a new organization, either consulting or internally, they don't know the depth of those numbers and they're not able to kind of rattle these things off. And so having that insight leads me to be able to give a much better strategy for each of the companies that I go into, regardless of, you know, have they done any marketing really to date internally or with agencies, or are they really just getting started?
I have so many questions. I feel like we have so much data at our fingertips now. It's easier now more than ever to access data. I feel like it can almost be overwhelming at times to have so much data. You know, is it possible to get like too bogged down in the numbers sometimes? Do they always paint the full picture?
No, they don't always paint the full picture. And that's kind of where experience comes into play. You can look at numbers and sometimes something will, you know, surprise you and be like, wow, that really performed on a much better level than I ever would have anticipated. Mm-hmm. And so it's really about not only seeing the data and being able to extrapolate it out, but also to really understand and read it and see if it's something that can be replicated. Sometimes you'll get like those one-offs that, okay, this was great, this worked this time, but I know it's not going to work in this other company, this other vertical, you know, whatever the case may be. So you have to really understand what those numbers mean. And like I say, you can get really bogged down in the numbers. And I've seen a lot of marketers, especially those that are kind of my age range and didn't have sort of the tool sets earlier in their career to really deep dive into those numbers, they look at a lot of numbers as marketing has done their job when they've captured X number of leads that are sales qualified now leads that can get passed on. And I look at it very differently. I look at marketing as really a function of revenue generation. I want my lead. My job is not done when I pass that lead to sales. My job is never done, truly. You know, I'm going to continue, you know, that lead needs to, especially this is a B2B industry where you're renewing these contracts. I want to retain those customers. I want to upsell them. I want to cross-sell them. I want to have them continue to work with my company, continue to make money. It's obviously much cheaper to retain a customer than it is to get a new one. So you want to always be maintaining that. And I think a lot of marketers stop their process once it goes to sales, and I don't. So having it, you know, looking at the numbers there, that's where it starts to be able to become a repeatable process. And you get to really understand, you know, what is it about the buying group that you're selling to that is going to make another similar buying group also want to purchase?
Yeah, somebody who's already made a sale for you, a lead that turns into a sale that converts, you know, they're already a warm lead for a future sale, right? So if you're not going back to that pipeline, I feel like you're probably doing yourself a disservice at that point, right?
Oh, for sure.
I'm curious too, because with social media now, everybody thinks they're a marketer, right? If you have a Canva account and a Facebook Ads Manager account, you think you're good to go. But there's so much more that goes into it. And I feel like now we are fighting against, you know, the algorithms. Traditionally, you know, you could pay for your advertising, whether it was traditional print media, social media, you could have killer copy, killer creative, and for some reason it just flops. You know, how do you handle these sorts of situations? Like, how do you go into social media marketing in the tech space? Like, how is that incorporated into your strategy?
So I love having intent-based tools. I love having that knowledge of what people are searching for, what keywords. And this is beyond just an ad manager. This is really having that third-party intent data. What are people searching for? What is their priorities? And also having real conversations. I think one of the most important things that I can be doing is having conversations with prospects, and not just people who are my customers, but people in the general space. Like, what are your priorities? Why are you looking at these things? Because a lot of times, especially I'm working with startups, that's all I do. I don't have the benefit of some giant brand name that everybody knows. I mean, I'm not working for Apple. I'm not working for Microsoft, where people just go and buy. I'm working for these companies that you might never have heard of, and I need to start getting that awareness out there and start showing why this company is going to be a priority.
This podcast is brought to you by Influicity. Since 2015, we've been building brand communities that drive revenue. First, we did it through influencers. Then we added podcasts. Today, we work with world-class brands to build, optimize, and run breakthrough programs that create and capture demand. It's time to stop renting your influence and start owning it. Learn more at Influicity.com.
And not only just the company, but sometimes even the space itself. You know, these are companies that they're emerging technologies where people have not necessarily felt that they need these things. Sometimes they feel they can be covered by other tools. And sometimes it can be. Sometimes it's not going to be a fit. The startup is by nature more of a niche level thing. So it's, you know, really getting that informed intent data so I can start creating the content that will create that demand. I also am not a big believer in things like landing pages where you're forced to put in your contact information and then getting spammed with emails on a periodic basis. I would rather people are coming as more of a magnet. They want to get information. They're appreciative of the fact that they're not going to get 30 emails after this. I don't want them to download some content and then get emails from me. I want them to download some content and be like, damn, I need to get more information. I want to have a conversation. I want to try this. I also love doing things like the try and buys where people get to just play with the technologies. I always try to think about it, put myself in the buying space. I am also a tech buyer, different buying, of course. I'm buying different tools, but I'm also a buyer. And I know that I don't have time to listen to long-winded spiels. I know I don't have time to read through hundreds of emails. I know I definitely don't want my phone cluttered up. I made a joke yesterday. I looked at my phone and I had 561 unread voicemails. I don't, as a busy executive, you just don't look at these things. You don't have time. So I want to give people the ability to look at these things on their own at their leisure when they have a moment. And then that creates that demand where now they want to say, yes, I want more information. I want to talk to a salesperson.
Yeah, you referenced that try and buy, I think is so important, especially in the tech space. I would never pay for any sort of software if I didn't get to try it out first, right? It's one thing to watch a video on how it functions, but it's so important to get to try it out. I was recently in the market for a new project management tool, and I think I took every free trial that exists under the sun to figure out what worked best for me. So yeah, that's, I think, a really important aspect of it. I think for some companies, you kind of alluded to this earlier, maybe they don't know that they need this. And I feel like that's sometimes a gap in a lot of industries for marketing to mm-hmm. communicate to your target audience why they need this. This is an age-old question. How do you answer somebody's problem and provide them a solution when they don't know it's a problem yet?
This goes back to some of the intent data that you're getting from these third-party intent signals. So, and it's something, if they're looking for something that's in a correlating space, you can obviously start to market into those folks, but also doing a lot of thought leadership style speaking sessions, webinars, and informative content. I don't want to do something where I'm going to an event and it's a salesy type event. People don't want to be sold to. This just keeps going back to people's time and what's valuable. You want to give them something that is valuable to them. So if you provide them with things on a thought leadership level, like I would a million times over rather have the people that are on the product team, people that are like the CTO having those speaking sessions rather than a salesperson going to an event and selling. I don't want salespeople. I don't want that heavy-handed tactic. I mean, we've all been to trade shows and events where you just get bombarded with like, hey, you want to try this and get a t-shirt? I don't want to do that. Obviously, those events have a place. I truly think it's for bigger companies. I think those are more of a brand awareness, hiring employees there. But as far as selling and making people have that desire and that demand, I don't want people standing around my booth because I have the best t-shirts and, pair of socks with a logo on it. I want people coming because they want to hear what I have to say. And they're coming to a speaking session where they are in this space. They have this understanding that they're starting to be aware of a growing problem, putting information out about that growing problem, and now give them the opportunity to learn about the problem, learn also from their peers in the space. I think, customer testimonials and use cases are some of the most powerful tools that we have at our fingertips to continue the conversations with new customers.
Absolutely. I have one last question for you, and this is the one that the folks above the marketers love, those KPIs. You have to measure how effective your campaigns and your strategies are. Which KPIs are most important to you or to marketers in general, would you say?
revenue. anything that's tied to revenue. But I think also the net retention scores and how if you're able to get people to keep coming back, anything that's kind of giving that share of voice, or people are, is your content starting to resonate? I love looking at metrics like, are people come when they're looking at the website, are they coming back? How are they interacting? I really study those. It's not just who hits the website, it's where they hit, how long they're staying, where are they moving to within that website, what content is really, really resonating, so that we can continue to provide content along those lines. I really like a guided, where not necessarily that they know they're being guided, but they're kind of like, here, we've given you, read this, now read this, this, and this, because it correlates to this, and this is why you'll find it helpful, informative, and never from, you know, I think it's something that I know I've clashed a little bit with some other folks in the leadership space. They want the, you know, that giant front and center, like contact sales, do this, do that. And I am so much more hesitant to do that. I would rather they have the education and the desire, because it also makes my salespeople's time much more valuable. It certainly costs a lot of money for the salesperson who, you know, it's a well-paid sales executive with a sales engineer. These are not cheap resources, not, you know, human resources. These are very expensive folks, and I want their time to be best served as well. Let's get conversations that are going to convert into an actual sale. So giving people this opportunity to really use the website as a tool versus as this salesy process is way more where I want to be. But that can definitely cause some conflicts with sales leaders who are like, but we want leads, we want this. And it's like, wouldn't you rather have 10 very highly qualified, high intent leads rather than 100 superficial? And that's where I always pull back to. And you know, there can definitely be some back and forth there. And to get there, to be an understanding of a qualified lead that's just been scored on you have the right title is not necessarily going to be a real great person to be connecting to and spending your time on.
That makes a lot of sense. Christine Castro, thank you so much for your time and your insight. I really appreciate it. I've learned a lot. You made me think about things differently, which is the whole purpose of this. So thank you.
Thanks for listening to Modern Marketing. This podcast is brought to you by Influicity, empowering marketers to build customer communities that drive revenue. We create massive demand via social, influencer, content, paid media, and of course, podcast. Learn more at Influicity.com.